Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog directors, John Rahor and Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for a Packers game this upcoming week against the Minnesota Vikings. We're going to take a look back at this past week's game against the New York Giants. To do that, to analyze the Packers, we have a guest on the phone as we do here every Wednesday at Railbird Central. We have Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan, how you doing this morning?
Doing well. How about you?
Very good. Thanks for joining us. The Packers, of course, got beat soundly by the New York Giants this past week. One of the things that happened during the game that I thought was a little unusual on offense was zero targets for James Jones, who's having his best season probably as a professional football player. And then at the same time, I'll just throw this question out to you. I don't really know the answer to myself, but are perhaps the Packers over-relying a little bit on Randall Cobb at wide receiver? I'm thinking that might be the case. It's crazy. A couple weeks ago, I never would have thought that. I thought they needed him to get the ball more. But are they almost looking to him too much now?
In this game, I don't think they were looking at Cobb too much. Going into the matchup, or going into the game, it looked like he would have a great matchup against Jerron Housley, who had been playing the slot corner and had not been playing it well. But what the Giants actually did is, with Kenny Phillips back at safety, they moved Antoine Roll back to the slot corner. And in the past, Roll hadn't been playing so well in the corner role, which he did a lot in 2011, but he has been playing a lot better this year. So going into the matchup, it looked like Cobb could have a huge game. But once the Giants did that change to the defense, the Giants had a much better chance, which is part of the reason that there were problems. Part of why I would say Jones got zero targets is because he was going up for most of the game against Prince Amukamara, who has been the Giants' best cornerback this year. So I think the Packers were just trying to take advantage of the weaknesses of the defense and weren't able to do that. I think another part of it is the Packers were under pressure so much, and typically when you're under pressure, you go look to throw the ball to the back or an inside receiver. So there were only five times the entire game where the Packers targeted an outside receiver, three of them being Jordy and two being Cobb, and only one of those was when Rodgers was under pressure.
Well, let's talk about this pressure a little bit more. The Packers gave up five sacks on Aaron Rodgers on Sunday and basically allowed a heavy pass rush with, you know, the Giants basically rushed for most of the day. What's going wrong with the Packers' offensive line?
A lot of it that went wrong was the offensive tackles. They were the ones to allow a lot of the pressure in this game. Two of the sacks were unblocked, which was a little surprising. I think part of it being the running backs not doing as much in terms of pass blocking. There were only 12 of the 36 pass plays where the Packers had an extra blocker in, so I think they could have given the offensive tackles a little more help. However, this is something that the Packers will be seeing the rest of the season. The Vikings, Bears, Lions, and Titans are all teams that will be playing 4-2-5 defenses all day, and they'll be playing against some good defensive ends, some mediocre defensive ends. So I think they really need to give those offensive tackles a little more help in pass protection.
Let's switch to the other side of the football. On the defensive side, the Packers didn't have very much of a pass rush without Clay Matthews. They only had one sack as opposed to the Giants' five. Where is the pressure, you know, not coming from? Or maybe to phrase that a better way, you know, who's at fault here for not being able to get to the quarterback?
First off, it's Eric Walden and Frank Zombo. The two of them switched off at the one outside linebacker spot, and neither of them had any pressure, no sacks, no hits, no hurries the entire game. But typically, you want the outside pass rushers to get most of your pressure, and when you're not getting any at one position, that's a problem. Desmond Moses had a sack and a hurry, which was all right. Something that did surprise me is the Packers, when they do their inside linebacker blitz where they send both inside linebackers after the quarterback, that play has typically been somewhat successful for the Packers, but they had no success with it in this game. On the bright side, there is a bright note in that B.J. Raji, for a second straight game, had five hurries, which prior to that, over the past two seasons, he had been averaging just over one hurry a game. So having five hurries and back-to-back games might be a sign of things to come for Raji as an inside pass rusher.
Well, we can only hope that continues. He's got to hopefully get to the quarterback at some point. I know he has zero sacks on the season. But in the defensive backfield, there was kind of a curious decision in that Devon House started over Casey Hayward at the perimeter cornerback position. What did you think of that decision and how these young defensive backs played?
I was a little surprised by this. I had read somewhere that it was a size issue since he was up against Hakeem Nicks basically the entire game. I personally would have put Casey Hayward out there, but that being said, House actually had an all right game in this one. He was clearly the Giants' target in this one because one in every three pass plays, House was the targeted defender. However, he only allowed 45.5% of the passes to be caught. It seemed like he had a really bad game because he allowed the two touchdowns, but he also had a pass defended, helped prevent two Hakeem Nicks passes from not being caught, which would have been big gains, and then also tackled Amon Bradshaw short of a first down on third down. So even though he had a few of those bad plays, he also had a number of good ones to go along with it. However, on the other hand, Casey Hayward was only targeted once the entire game on the 15 pass plays he was in for, and on that one play, he defended the pass, so he had a good game, even though he wasn't very visible in the game.
This week, the Packers take on the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. The Vikings kind of surprisingly have a winning record right now. Some might argue that it's being done with smoke and mirrors, but what do you think about the Vikings, what kind of challenge they present?
The Vikings on offense, a big reason why they were winning early is because they were getting the ball to Percy Harvin, and Percy Harvin was making plays along with Adrian Peterson. However, Harvin's been hurt a lot late in the later parts of the season and is questionable for this game. So without him, the Vikings' offense is mainly Adrian Peterson, which very well could be an MVP this year. So he's the one person that the Packers really need to stop on offense. Outside of that, their tight end Kyle Rudolph is doubtful in this game with a concussion. They've been rotating their wide receivers because they haven't found the combos that they like so far without Percy Harvin. So Adrian Peterson's the one to stop on their offense. On the defense, the Packers have to worry about the same thing as the Giants with Jared Allen and Brian Robinson as the outside pass rushers, so the tackles need to step up and stop those two players. If they are able to do that, A.J. Jefferson and Josh Robinson are the weaknesses in the Vikings' defense. They play the two outside corner roles, while Antonio Winfield will play the slot corner against Randall Cobb. So James Jones should rebound with a big game. Jordy Nelson could have a big game as well. And then depending on where Greg Jennings plays and how much he plays, he could have a nice return as well.
Nathan, we haven't talked about Pro Football Focus in a while and what you do there. For those who might be new to the show, who are just joining us, what do you do at ProFootballFocus.com and how do you do it?
At ProFootballFocus.com, we watch every player on every play in every game. What we do is we have multiple people watching every game, and one person is marking down every player on every play, what they did on the play, and where they lined up on the play. So we have a much better idea of how teams are using their players. We also have someone grading every player on every play and then keeping track of statistics that the NFL doesn't keep track of, such as for a defensive player, how many sacks they had, how many hits they had, and how many hurries they had. And then on the flip side, on the offensive side of the ball, what offensive player gave up the sack, the hit, or the hurry. So along with that, we have a bunch of other numbers that the NFL doesn't keep track of. So we also have a good idea of what every player is doing well and what they aren't doing well for every single team and every single player in the league.
Well, Nathan, you do a great job at ProFootballFocus.com. Thanks for joining us this morning, and we'll talk to you next week after the Packers play the Vikings.
Thanks for having me. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us as he does every Wednesday here at Railbird Central, talking some Packers football. Thanks to him for joining us, and thanks to you, the listener, for joining us here this morning at Cheesehead TV. Let's get right down to it. The Packers have a big game this upcoming week against a division opponent, and they're trying to get healthy and trying to get ready. Although it appears on the injury front, they're not going to have everyone available. There's kind of some good news and some bad news here. And I think the news of the day, or yesterday at least, of the past 24 hours, Derek Sherrod's season has officially been ended. Derek Sherrod, the first-round draft choice in 2011, of course, he was placed on injured reserve last year with a gruesome leg injury, a broken leg. You remember that back in Kansas City, in which he actually had to stay in Kansas City in the hospital overnight. It was so bad he couldn't even fly back with the team. They probably had to perform emergency surgery there, but gruesome injury last year. Obviously, he's just not along in his progression he's not ready to be available for the Packers. And, you know, the Packers held out as long as possible by placing him on the physically unable to perform list, the PUP list, the PUP. That allows teams to, with injured players who, you know, aren't ready for at the beginning of the season, to come back later. And the Packers held out absolutely as long as possible. Derek Sherrod is probably the last player in the entire NFL, in the whole NFL, who was placed on a PUP list to either come back or have his season ended. They took it down to the very, very deadline, and a decision had to be made this week on Derek Sherrod. And they made it yesterday, and you know, he's been on injured reserve again. Basically, his season's ended. They don't have to do anything with the roster. No moves have to be made. Season's over, and he'll stay on the roster, the 90 man or whatever, and he's eligible to return next year. And basically, two disappointing seasons for Derek Sherrod now, his rookie season, which he didn't play a whole lot. I mean, you know, everybody gets a pass the rookie season. He showed things during his rookie year that might be promising. He was getting time there, obviously, when he was injured. And, this year, just wasn't able to return. So, I mean, of course, there's the long-term concern here about Sherrod's health. And is he injury prone? Now, he's only suffered this one major injury, so it's tough to say right now whether he's injury prone. But, you know, next year he'll be going into his third year in the NFL, and it'll kind of be a do or die time for him. I'm not sure he's down to his last chance yet, but certainly, you know, there's going to be a lot of questions about him next year. That he's going to have to answer to, or, you know, answer with his play on the field. You know, hopefully, obviously, you're hoping he's ready in terms of training camp next year. Heck, I mean, I hope he's ready for the mini camps and the OTAs in the springtime. But for certain, you hope he's ready by the time training camp opens, and he's ready to compete for a job next year. I don't know what jobs will be open on the Packers offensive line next year. That might depend on the health of other players, but certainly he'll be, you know, expected to make the team and be a starter going forward. I mean, that's what you hope from a first round draft choice. I mean, you wish Derek Sherrod would have been able to contribute this year, especially with the Packers, you know, their offensive line situation. Brian Bulaga got injured. I mean, in a perfect world, Brian Bulaga doesn't get injured, but even if he does, you would have hoped that Derek Sherrod would have replaced him in the lineup, and TJ Lang could have stayed at left guard. That's the ideal situation, but, you know, doesn't happen that way. Basically, the Packers have no other choice right now than to, go with what they've got. Evan Dietrich Smith at left guard, TJ Lang at right tackle. You know, kind of talked about here a little bit on, you know, the possibility of maybe Don Barclay taking Evan Dietrich Smith's spot, you know, either at left guard or, you know, at right tackle, and TJ Lang could swing back in. Regardless, Kevin Lamb says on the live blog, I am hoping for next year that Datko can get stronger and be a good backup. Certainly, Andrew Datko, a seventh-round draft choice this year, is on the Packers practice squad. You know, they're kind of developing him, hoping he can be a contributor down the road. You hope that's the case. We'll find out more next season and during this upcoming off season how much progress he's made and whether he's really ready to be a player in the NFL. We'll see with all of these things. Obviously, a lot has to play out. These guys got to develop. They got to get healthy, and we judge where they are in the upcoming months. GB Slacker on the live blog asks, Green Bay weakened at two positions, moving Lang, and should they try Barclay at right tackle? You know, I suggested that in my column, on Monday here at Cheesehead TV with the masking deficiencies and whether they should try Don Barclay. And personally, I think they should. I think that's the move you make. I think you move Lang back to left guard and try Don Barclay out at right tackle. And hey, if it doesn't work, you go with what you've got. I mean, that's basically the only option the Packers have left. And, Don Barclay, at least, he's going to take his lumps, but he's a try hard kind of guy. I mean, that's what we learned during training camp in the preseason this year. I think, he's not going to be any worse than what the Packers have right now. In fact, the chances are that he could be better. Could being the operative word there. No guarantees, obviously, until we see Don Barclay in a regular season situation. Don't really know how he's going to do. He's done fine on special teams this year, but not a whole lot to analyze there. The other news here today, this week, is with Cedric Benson, and it doesn't have so much to do with the news that he is actually a house DJ, and that's cool as heck. If you haven't seen it this week, the blog Deadspin.com had figured it out, had surmised that Packers running back Cedric Benson in his free time as a house DJ during the Packers bye week. He went to Austin, Texas and played at some clubs, including some gentlemen's clubs, which is curious that he would get so into this in the middle of a season, but it did come during the Packers bye week. So, basically whatever you want to do, Cedric, in your free time, that's cool by us as long as you're doing fine otherwise. But aside from that, in Mike McCarthy's press conference on Tuesday, he said a couple things. First of all, he said Cedric Benson would not be practicing this week. And, of course, that's not good news. Cedric Benson is now eligible to practice as part of being part of this new injured reserve designation in which one player can come off IR. He is eligible to practice, but apparently not ready yet. On top of that, Mike McCarthy also said the Packers will have more information about Cedric Benson on Wednesday. And, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to realize what can they say about Cedric Benson? What can they possibly announce other than he needs surgery? That's the only thing that's really just about, unless that thing totally comes out of left field. They've already said he's not practicing, so unless thing totally comes out of left field, Cedric Benson is going to need surgery, and that's probably going to end the season. Now, can he come back for the playoffs post-surgery or something like that? I have no clue. I haven't looked into that yet, but apparently he's going to need surgery here, and we'll see his timetable for recovery. That's kind of disappointing. You hoped he would have been ready to go here sometime in the month of December, ready for the stretch run, ready for the playoffs, ready to help the Packers once again, because the running game has just been, so-so this year. James Starks and Alex Green have looked good in flashes, things like that. But You know, the Packers could have certainly used Cedric Benson back and see how he could have done. Disappointing that this would be the case. Now, that's nothing official here. This is speculation. Kind of piggybacking on a report here from Bob McGinn last week when he said that, you know, Benson still could need surgery. Apparently, Benson visited a foot specialist. I'm not even sure out of state where it is exactly, but it's out of state. He found out more, and we'll see what happens. Some sort of announcement coming today. So Mike McCarthy's press conference is at, I believe, 1 o'clock p.m. Central Time, broadcasted live on the Packers official website, packers.com, so you can tune in then to find out what the news is. So we play wait and see here with Cedric Benson, but anticipate the worst. Brace for the worst. Well, you know, the worst being that he needs surgery and that his season is done. So, you know, what is Cedric Benson's future in Green Bay, if that's the case? You know, he signed a one-year contract. GB Slacker says likely the end of Benson in Green Bay. He signed a one-year contract, so if he does have a future with the Packers, he would have to sign yet again. And, you know, I suppose it's possible the Packers could sign him again. If he's willing to sign a minimal contract, perhaps that would be, you know, something they could do again and give him a shot. But, you know, no guarantees next year. I think the Packers are going to want to go in a younger direction. And, you know, once again, they might draft a running back looking for the answer. We will see. We will find out. Again, all these things going to be answered in the offseason. Nothing we can figure out right now. I can't look into a crystal ball and figure out what's going to happen with Derek Sherrod, Cedric Benson in the future. So we worry about the situation, the season at hand. And the one thing we do know, the season at hand, who's going to be coming back and who's playing for the Packers right now this week is wide receiver Greg Jennings. Mike McCarthy, also in his Tuesday press conference, says, you know, basically it's only a question of how much does Greg Jennings play on Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. You know, it's a given he'll play, which is great news for the Packers. He's been gone now for, you know, several weeks. I don't even know the exact number off the top of my head. I've lost count. And, you know, early in the season, he was hurt. He was playing. It was kind of on and off there for a couple weeks. He was getting injured during games and being taken out. And now he's going to be back. And, you know, he's had surgery, so he's back healthy. You know, he's probably not 100% yet. His conditioning probably isn't back to 100%, but he's going to play, and that's a good thing. You know, I would guess, if I were to venture to guess, I would say that Greg Jennings is going to play maybe 50% of the offensive snaps on Sunday. Obviously, he's not going to play any special team. I mean, he didn't even before the injury, so he's going to play about 50% of the offensive snaps, and then maybe every week he'll just play a little bit more. You know, maybe next week he plays a little bit more. After that, we're getting back to 90% or so, and then by the end of the season, by the playoff time, he's back to basically a full-time player and part of the regular rotation, basically coming out only when the Packers, you know, deem it as part of the game plan. So DJ Protege asks on the live blog, is Clay ruled out already? You know, they haven't ruled anybody out already. The official injury report comes out this week, comes out today on Wednesday. And you know, what did Mike McCarthy say after the game on Sunday? He said that Clay Matthews wasn't as far along as Greg Jennings, which doesn't give you, you know, hope that Clay Matthews is going to participate. I mean, I almost guarantee you Clay Matthews is not going to practice today. You know, maybe, you know, they're going to hold him out Wednesday, Thursday, and if everything goes really good, maybe he'll practice on Friday and they'll try to get him a little bit of work. But, you know, they might leave it to a game-time decision again on Sunday, you know, and maybe they rule him out once again. It just, you know, make the target next week against the Detroit Lions. You know, I could easily see that happening. You know, they want him back to 100%. And obviously you want Clay Matthews back as soon as possible. All the games are important at this point. The Packers are now 7-4 on the season. You know, they haven't clinched the division yet, so it's important to win division games. They haven't, you know, right now they'd qualify for the playoffs, but you don't want to stay a fifth seed. You want to do better. You want to get a home game. You'd want to get a bye if possible. It's looking like it would be tough to get a bye, but not necessarily tough that you couldn't win the division or get a home game. So Packers going to be looking to do that, you know, over the course of the rest of the season. In order to do that, you want Clay Matthews, you want Greg Jennings. And while Clay Matthews looks doubtful this week, I would say that's probably going to be Clay Matthews' designation would be doubtful. But again, that's just my speculation. Greg Jennings, his designation will be probable. And, you know, he's going to play this week. And, you know, that's good news for the Packers offense. Is he going to cure all their woes? Absolutely not. You know, Greg Jennings isn't an offensive lineman, so they still have to deal with all those issues and protection issues there. But certainly I think he will be, you know, helpful to the Packers offense. He's a good deep threat. He's a good route runner. He's a guy that you hope can get open on the line of scrimmage. You know, how much he's able to do these things in week one post-injury, not week one of the season, but, you know, week one coming back from injury, that remains to be seen. But, you know, obviously, you just hope Greg Jennings gets better every week, more effective every week, faster every week, better conditioned every week so he's able to last longer. So, you know, you hope that's the case, and you know, the Packers offense just gets better as a result, more effective, more efficient, more deadly. Aaron Rodgers has more targets to throw to, and they're using these guys in the ideal situations and the ideal spots on the field. You certainly hope that's the case. And we'll start to see this upcoming Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. So big game this Sunday, division opponent. Packers have ground to make up. It would really be a stinker if the Packers lost on Sunday. You know, the Packers are 7-4, right? And the Vikings, I believe, off the top of my head here, they're 6-5. And, you know, all of a sudden, these two teams are tied if the Packers were to lose. And nobody wants to see that. You know, you just want to eliminate Minnesota from contention. And the Packers can do that almost single-handedly with two games coming up, you know, against the Vikings, not only this week, but still play them once more before the season ends as well. You know, don't they play the Vikings in the season finale, right? I think it is week 17. So basically, if the Packers can take care of business against the Vikings, they can effectively almost end their season with two losses, you know, to the Vikings. If the Vikings win even one of these two matchups, they're making it really tough on the Packers to at least win the division. We'll see. We'll see. The Packers also have one more game against the Chicago Bears coming up as well. And that, of course, will be an important game too. Next, three straight here against division opponents. Vikings, Lions, Bears. Big stretch of games. So Packers will really need to make up some ground here as they hope to better their seeding in the playoffs. John on the live blog says, the coaching staff needs to realize that right now they aren't as good offensively as they were in 2010 and the majority of last year. The statistics certainly say that. They bear that out. I think the coaching staff realizes that. Now it's a matter of, you know, what they do, how they answer, how they change, how they adjust. The Mike McCarthy's, you know, now criticized himself several times this season about his play calling. And, you know, it's time for that to end. Mike McCarthy criticizing himself and his own play calling. That's, You know, that can't happen anymore. Not to say that you can't screw up, you know, or call the wrong play once in a while, once a game. But when you're kind of making, you know, the wrong calls multiple times, or, you know, you're running when you should be passing or passing when you should be running, vice versa, you know, those kind of things, can't be happening. Kind of a little bit of studying this week, I've seen articles both at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and ESPN.com about the Packers and the shotgun formation and how they're going shotgun extra heavy and perhaps not doing too well either in those situations. So, you know, another situation that bears watching here, the shotgun formation and what the Packers are doing out of that formation. So, in fact, also becoming a little bit apparent here, whenever Randall Cobb is in the backfield, more than likely, you know, he's been getting the ball when he's in the backfield, and that can't always happen either. You know, sometimes it's got to be a case where the Packers do pass and they keep the other team guessing as to what they're going to do. So we'll see what the Packers do here going forward and how it all plays out starting this Sunday against the Vikings. It's past 9 o'clock here, folks. Thanks for joining us here this morning at Cheesehead TV. Make sure to come back on Friday as we prepare for yet another episode of Railbird Central. I leave you today with a song called Velvet Red by Conspirator on Psy Fidelity Records. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Kirvu. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack Go, and we'll see you Friday. We'll be right back.